Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is up, football fans, and welcome back to another episode of the NFL Whip Around. I'm Jeff Hartman, joined by Coach KT Smith. Quick call to action. If you're watching live on YouTube, give us a like and subscribe to the channel for all the latest sports news, but mainly on the National Football League. Make sure you check us out on the audio side as well by searching FFSN NFL wherever you get your podcast. Coach, welcome to the show. Free agency is here.
Let's go. I'm dizzy. I'm trying to get my bearings. Too much happening too fast. It's crazy. I was thinking about, like, if you're a GM right now, everybody talked about the big board for the draft. I'd love to see the big board for free agency.
I'm sure it's pretty extensive, to be honest. And
yeah,
I want to get your thoughts on this real quick before we even dive into our list of topics and players and new contracts. Was it just me, or did it seem like there were a lot of free agents that were re-signed with their own team before the free agency actually began? It just seemed like there were more this year than in the past year. You agree or disagree?
Yeah, I agree. Early on, I felt like we weren't going to have a lot to talk about, because I was like, everybody's re-signing with their guys. And then, you know, around probably mid-afternoon, it started to all break loose. But yes, it definitely felt like the priority was to lock up your own guy. That makes a lot of sense. I'm a big believer. If you've had success with a guy and he can still play, it's a lot easier to keep him in your system than to have to orient somebody else. That acclimation to different schemes and systems can be tricky. So you can get your own guy and you're happy with them, do it.
Absolutely. And when you think about how this free agency frenzy began on Monday around noon, it was very slow moving at first. Then things started to pick up. But really, the news started unofficially, because it can't be official until Wednesday, happened late on Sunday night, and that was the Pittsburgh Steelers coming to terms on a one-year deal with quarterback Russell Wilson. He is going to play for the veteran minimum, a $1.2 or $1.3 million deal. There were reports that his agent put out a feel with a bunch of teams that might have shown some interest, saying, look, they wanted to get a 2025 year put in, and he would have a bunch of clauses in the contract where he might be able to have other parts, and no one bid on that. And so he ended up staying with Pittsburgh, probably because it might be his best chance to get on the football field. But what is your immediate reaction to Russell Wilson now being a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers unofficially?
First, I didn't think it was going to happen. You guys were right. You know, some of the steel curtain guys like Jeff and Dave Schofield, they believed it was going to happen. I did not. I thought he was going to go to Vegas. I just thought, that they would have an interest and he'd be able to go in there and really be the starter, as opposed to in Pittsburgh, where he'd have to compete with Kenny Pickett. But it sure seems like the Steelers have brought him in to be the starter. As far as that goes, I think he's a great fit. I think some of the things that people have been talking about as to why Pittsburgh would be attractive to him in Arthur Smith's offense, the boot game, the play action pass, being able to throw the ball deep down the field to a guy like George Pickens. I mean, those are all the strengths of his game right now. The weaknesses of his game are sitting in the pocket, diagnosing coverage, thrown into the middle of the field. I don't know if that's what Arthur Smith's going to want him to do. And so the match of quarterback and coordinator makes a lot of sense.
Now, I am fortunate enough to have some sources inside the Steelers facility, and they said exactly what Mike Tomlin said at the end of the season press conference, and that is that Russell Wilson is going to compete for a job. Now, some people don't believe this. They say he's not going to sign with Pittsburgh unless he's going to be given the job. Kenny Pickett, QB1 right now, but he's going to have to beat out Russell Wilson and compete for it. So we'll see how that plays out. But for $1.2, $1.3 million, it's a really low risk, you know, acquisition, wouldn't you say? And for the Pittsburgh Steelers, even if he doesn't win the job, Kenny Pickett is QB1. You're paying a backup only $1.2 million. What's the big deal, right, Coach?
It's a no-brainer for the Steelers from that perspective. If Kenny Pickett beats him out, then that will mean that he legitimately beat him out. I don't think this is a thing where, like, oh, it's, you know, if it's a toss-up that they're going to go back to Kenny Pickett. I think that Kenny Pickett's got to show that he's clearly QB1. And if he does, that's a win for the Steelers.
Yes.
Because that will mean that Kenny Pickett's playing really good football. And if he doesn't, then yeah, man, the Steelers get a shot with a motivated Russell Wilson on the cheap. And that's not a bad thing either.
Now, I can tell you again that the Steelers did speak with Kenny Pickett before they made this move. He was very much aware of it. This didn't blindside him. But if you're Kenny Pickett, what are you thinking right now?
It's hard to feel good about it. It really is. Now, obviously, he's going to say all the right things, that he's going to say, hey, I get a great opportunity to come in here and prove who I am, et cetera, et cetera. But boy, it sure feels as though, at least for 1 year, the Steelers are looking to replace him.
It does. And when training camp rolls around, and he probably won't speak too much before that, maybe at OTAs, mandatory minicamp, stuff like that. When all of a sudden Sierra's around and Russell Wilson's entourage is coming into town, it's going to be a different ball of wax when Latrobe. It's going to be exciting. For Steelers fans, you should be excited. I think this is a, not to spend so much time on the Steelers, but we're both Steelers fans, so bear with us here, football fans. To me, this shows that this new, and you might disagree, that this new era of Steelers football is not just status quo. We're not just going to roll the same thing out there and hope that it improves. They're willing to turn over some stones. And I don't know, Coach, do you foresee that same thing happening?
Yes, 100%. I think the Omar Khan era is very different from the Kevin Colbert era. And I think that, yes, the Steelers are willing to take some chances. Let's face it, this is a big chance. This is a big risk. Because if this doesn't go well, let's say Wilson, quote unquote, beats out Pickett and he becomes a starter and he plays poorly, but it sort of poisons the well with Kenny Pickett. Now the Steelers really are in some trouble at the quarterback position. So it's a big risk.
Absolutely. And Russell Wilson signing, or again, nothing official yet, was the first quarterback shoe to drop. The second one happened on Monday, and it was Kirk Cousins going to the Atlanta Falcons for, I think, $45 million a year. I don't know what the guaranteed number is, but he's getting $45 million a year, just insane money. Kirk Cousins knows how to get the bag. What do you think about the fit between Kirk Cousins and what's going on down there with Raheem Morris in Atlanta?
Yeah. So that's Zach Robinson is the new offensive coordinator. Yes. He was in L.A. for the past few seasons with Sean McVay. I think that they obviously like what Cousins can do it in that system, probably a little bit like a Matthew Stafford down there with the Rams. And they had a lot of success, obviously, with Matthew Stafford. So I think the fit's good. You know, you get a good, strong run game there, and you can take advantage of Cousins, his accuracy and his ability to diagnose coverage, but also now off of that run game to set up play action. So I think, man, I think the Falcons are now a serious contender, if not maybe the favorite in the NFC South. I got to marvel, though, at the dollar amount, man. You know, $45 million a year for Kirk Cousins. Brian Anthony Davis and I on the Steelers Q&A show Sunday night, one of the questions was, how long will it be before we see a quarterback get paid $100 million a year? I don't think we're that far out. Kirk Cousins on the back end of his career getting $45 million a season, we're probably not that far away from the young bucks who are coming up commanding that crazy amount of money.
So per Adam Schefter, Falcons are giving quarterback Kirk Cousins a 4-year, $180 million deal, including $100 million guaranteed. It's $45 million per average per year, but he gets $100 million guaranteed no matter what. That is crazy, absolutely crazy type money, especially for a guy coming off a ruptured Achilles tendon.
Yeah.
And that's what I don't fathom. Like, this is a guy that's not young and he's coming off of a very serious injury to his lower leg. I don't know. Like, the question now, in my opinion, you may disagree, where does Justin Fields go? Everything is drying up. Like, the wells are drying up. What do you think?
That's a good question. Maybe he winds up out with his old offense coordinator with Vegas. I don't know, because I really thought that he was going to go to Atlanta. I really felt like that was a really nice fit between coordinator and quarterback. He's a much more mobile guy than Cousins. And, you know, you think through the rant. I mean, is Zach Robinson going to run the exact system he ran in L.A.? No, but he's going to run something very similar. And they're a big wide zone boot team that requires the quarterback to have some mobility. So, yes, that's an excellent question right now about Justin Fields. I mean, there's been rumors that the Browns are interested, and that would be very interesting given how much they've already invested at the quarterback position in Deshaun Watson. Are they going to invest more there? That would be a very Browns thing to do, though.
This after they traded for Jerry Jeudy already to bring in the wide receiver. I mean, they didn't have to give up much. They had to pick up his contract. I mean, that team is a financial nightmare right now in terms of looking at the cash they're putting out. But it's going to be interesting. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens next at the quarterback position. But let's talk about one last quarterback. Baker Mayfield didn't hit free agency. This is something we talked about last week when Mike Evans signed his contract. I said the fact that Evans signed the deal tells me Baker's not going anywhere. He stays with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 3 years, up to $115 million. And it does give the team, the organization, an opt-out after 2 years if he doesn't play well. What do you think about Baker staying down in Tampa?
I mean, good for Baker Mayfield, man. He's the big winner in all this, I think, because if this is a guy, love him or hate him, this guy's been betting on himself his whole life. You look at his college career, he walked on at Texas Tech, made the team, became the starter, and then left to walk on essentially again at Oklahoma. Like, decided, hey, man, I want to go to a place where I think I can get a better chance at an NFL shot. And then he won that starting job. And obviously things didn't go great in Cleveland. He's not the first quarterback where things have not gone great in Cleveland. And now he's had an opportunity and went out to LA for a year, probably learned a lot with the Rams. And had a fantastic year with Tampa, and, you know, a guy who has bet on himself over and over again, and now he wins and gets the big payday. And so, you know, good for him, man. He's a guy who is a good story about, you know, having faith in yourself.
Yeah. So Baker Mayfield stays in Tampa. Again, really, when you think about the big names that were on the open market for the quarterback position, they're starting to all find their homes. We talked about Justin Fields, who technically is not a free agent. Did see from multiple reports that the Bears are completely butchering getting rid of this guy if they wanted to get a high. I mean, that's what they're saying. They're saying that they are unbelievably ill-prepared for this. They tried to get it done at the combine. They couldn't. Everyone knows just, hey, wait him out. Now, all these teams are just go ahead and grabbing their guys, the Steelers with Wilson, the Falcons, the Buccaneers, and now all of a sudden that's drying up. So we'll see what the Bears do in terms of having the number one overall pick and still having Justin Fields and a tough decision with the fifth-year option coming up.
Well, that's the same Bears team that traded Chase Claypool, yeah, who's basically out of the league now, to the Steelers for Joey Porter, who's going to be a perennial All-Pro.
Second-round pick, but the 32nd pick in overall. Yeah, exactly. So I'm not shocked that they're butchering it, to put it mildly. Now, I want to get your take on a position. Last year, we all talked about the devaluing of the running back position, how everyone's stock is just plummeting, and all you had this almost like a coalition of running backs that were trying to band together, and they were meeting Najee Harris of the Steelers, Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, all these guys were meeting via Zoom or FaceTime, and they were talking about, what can we do to bump up the value of the running back position? Well, so far early on in free agency, running backs have been flying off the market, with Tony Pollard signing. DeAndre Swift goes to the Bears, Pollard to the Titans. Josh Jacobs goes to Green Bay, which means that Aaron Jones is getting released. That news just broke. Saquon Barkley to Philadelphia. What's going on with these running backs, Coach? It seems like a complete 180 from where we were last year.
Yeah, it sure does. I mean, they're not breaking the bank financially, but the contracts are good. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's, again, it's one of those sort of things where teams are looking for the right fit. Saquon Barkley to the Eagles, that's a huge get for Philadelphia. You know, steal him from your rival in the division for one thing. But if he can stay healthy, he is a tremendous fit for that offense with his receiving ability out of the backfield. So, I mean, I think that that's something that Eagles fans should be excited about. The big name, you know, two names, right? Austin Eckler. Be very interested to see if he re-signs. And Derrick Henry, man, where's Derrick Henry wind up? Because yeah, you know, we're you and I are both just like, please don't land Derrick Henry in Baltimore. But Baltimore's an 11 personnel spread team now more than they are a Greg Roman team. So
yes,
you know, I'm hoping that he'll stay out of Baltimore for that reason.
Well, there's some people saying that right now there's some, maybe Vegas is interested in Derrick Henry and they might outbid everyone else and as it pertains to his services, but nothing is official yet. And as a reminder, all of these deals that we're talking about cannot be deemed official until Wednesday when the new league year technically begins at 4 p.m. Eastern time. So the running back deals, there were a lot of them. It was insane, but I thought the biggest deal of the day was Wilkins. My gosh, the former Miami Dolphins defensive lineman goes to the Raiders. We just spoke about them. 4 years, $110 million. Coach, what do you think about that?
Well, I think you might have remarked it earlier in the day, man. Aren't the Raiders bankrupt from still having to pay their their coaches from back in 2015, who I think they're still paying? And yeah. at one point last season, the Raiders were paying four head coaches. They were paying four guys. So, the salary cap has just exploded. I mean, teams have so much more money than they expected to have. You don't want to say that's a luxury get, but that's a great get for Vegas. They're building a heck of a defense. They already had a good defense. That defensive front in particular. I think that guys want to play for Antonio Pierce. I think he's a player's coach. I think people regard him in some ways that they regard Mike Tomlin, a guy who they feel motivated by. He's going to push you. There's enthusiasm for going to play for him. And so obviously when you combine that with the dollar amount, it's probably a no-brainer for Wilkins.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting with that increased salary cap, like you mentioned, and teams having a little bit more financial flexibility when they look at their roster. But one of the big deals, man, it's Chris Jones. Chris Jones, Kansas City Chiefs. This deal as well happened before free agency began. He goes back to Kansas City, $158 million, 5 years, with $101 million guaranteed. Will he be asking for a new contract after 2 years?
Worked for him last time.
It did. Yeah. Absolutely. What do you think about that deal?
That's another bet on yourself guy, man. He really rolled the dice by holding out.
Yeah.
And then obviously that has more than worked out in his favor. I think Kansas City will be very interesting to see the trickle down effect of that in Kansas City, because they're not going to be able to hold on to all their guys, right? Like a guy like Mecole Hardman, who, you know, had a great Super Bowl for them. I mean, you might see him go. How are they going to pay Mahomes, Chris Jones, and then they just franchise tag Snead, the corner. And the franchise tag for corners, I don't know what the exact amount is, but it's got to be over $20 million, or in that neighborhood at least. Yeah. I don't know how they're going to be able to pay all those guys. I wouldn't be shocked if they wound up trading Snead, because they're just not going to be able to dole out all that money. At some point, I know the salary cap is what it is, but at some point, you got to start cutting guys.
Franchise tag for a cornerback in 2024 is $19.8 million.
Yeah, so there you go.
There's a lot of people out there that think that they did that simply to try and trade him. And it's the same with T. Higgins. If you want to go down that road, T. Higgins, a wide receiver in Cincinnati, he was franchise tagged. Reportedly, they tried to shop him, didn't get any suitors. He says, I want traded. And now they're trying to see if they can get a deal done with someone. But it's going to be interesting. The Steelers, they actually, according to reports, they actually talked to the Chiefs about getting Ladarius Snead, but what's it going to come down to? You're going to have to pick up that bill. You might have to renegotiate a contract. You're going to have to give up draft capital. I don't know. We shall see what that looks like. But out of all the deals that are made so far, and by the way, there's probably other deals that have yet to be made after we have finished recording this podcast. But is there a deal, Coach, that you think is sneaky good that hasn't gotten a lot of attention so far?
Yeah, you know what deal I really like? I really like Jonah Jackson being signed by the Rams. From the Detroit Lions, man. He's a really good lineman. That was a great line in Detroit, and them being able to get him and now pair him on a line that includes Kevin Dotson, the former Steeler, who had a great year last season. I think that the Rams, you know, offensively, man, they're a really good team, and they're a team that believes in building, you know, through the front. So I thought that that was a really sneaky good deal.
I don't know. It's just crazy how there's been a lot of positions that have had, it almost feels like the draft, doesn't it? Like with runs early on, there were a lot of centers, interior offensive linemen that got new deals. Then all of a sudden running backs start going. There hasn't been a run on defensive backs yet. The safety market is really, really robust right now. And you have teams like the Pittsburgh Steelers who might be in the market for some of those defensive backs. It's kind of like people were just waiting to see, well, what's the first contract to be given out? And so I wish I had a sneaky good deal. I don't. Russell Wilson to the Steelers. That's a sneaky good deal.
Well, here, I'll give you one more. I really like, man. You know, Blake Cashman, the Texans linebacker, signing with Minnesota. I think he's just like one of those glue guys. You know, we talk about guys on each team that is just like, you know, maybe a little bit underrated or undervalued, but everybody in the locker room, everybody on the field understands how good they are. I thought he was that kind of guy for that Texans defense. Saw an interview earlier in the season with D'Amico Ryans, and he just spoke so highly of him and talked about everything he does for that defense down in Houston. So, you know, the Vikings obviously getting him is going to be big for them.
Injury prone, isn't he though? Has he been banged up?
Yeah, a little bit. He's healthy last year though, and turned into Pro Bowl season.
Yeah. That's a big issue with the inside linebacker positions. Can they stay healthy? But has anything surprised you about free agency so far? And it's just getting started. But is there anything that you're like, wow, like I didn't see this coming?
Well, we mentioned it you know, earlier, but I am surprised that Fields hasn't moved. I just figured they've been talking about that for months. Like you just figured like they'd have something. If not in place, then there'd be like, all right, well, it didn't work out with Atlanta, or it didn't work out with Pittsburgh, but that's all right because we've lined up some things. And maybe they have, you know, maybe he'll move in the next day or two, but they can't keep him, can they? You know, like they could, but after everything that's gone down, I mean, they've made it very clear that they love Caleb Williams and that they want to move on from Fields. And like to bring him back because they couldn't find a suitor, man, that would be making a mess of things.
Well, let's look at who are the teams that still might be out there that are looking. Minnesota needs a quarterback. Everyone's saying they're going after Sam Darnold. I'm sorry. What is attractive about Sam Darnold? There's nothing to me that says, let's bring that guy in, even if he's a bridge quarterback. Like, that's just not it. The Vegas Raiders. I don't think Aiden O'Connell is by any way, shape, or form or methodology won that job. And so there could be an upgrade there. Can you think of any other team that could possibly be in negotiations? And I'm going to say something crazy here. Could Pittsburgh still be in the mix?
No. Please, no.
I mean, technically, if it gets down to the nitty gritty and Chicago says, we'll take anything, like just give us something, and they don't pick up his fifth year option, then the Steelers could say, hey, yeah, we'll take him.
What if they trade him for Kenny Pickett? Yeah, I mean, Justin Fields for Kenny, you never know, man. Never know. I know, I'll give you team New England, man. New England could be in still.
Yeah, they traded Mac Jones.
Yeah, they traded Mac Jones. They're almost assuredly going to take a QB at number three, but they, you know, maybe they're not ready to start that guy. Maybe, you know, again, what's happening with the trade value for Justin Fields right now, it's got to be plummeting. Everybody thought initially it'd be a second. What if you can get him for a fourth? New England would be crazy not to say, hey, we'll take him for a fourth and then have a little, you know, you get him for a year and then you get to make a decision on whether or not you want to pick up his fifth year option. And if you don't want to pick it up, you've got your draft pick right there ready to go.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And as we're recording, a lot of news is happening, whether you're talking about Cashman, Jordan Schultz of the Schultz Report says 5 year, $100 million for Robert Hunt and the Dolphins, $63 million guaranteed. Like, these numbers are just astronomical. And you said how long until $100 million a year? I'm going to go with what Mike Florio said, where he said, how long until a player says, I want partial ownership of a team, that they want a cut in the ownership? That would be insane. And I can't fathom that even happening.
Any franchise that gives partial ownership to a rookie should be like we should have like relegation, like they do in Premier League soccer, you know, like you're relegated to the United Football League because you're so stupid to be able to do that.
Well, but what if it's a free agent? What if it's a proven commodity? So let's say Joe Burrow, as an example, when he was out of his rookie contract and they were going to negotiate before the fifth year option money kicked in, they do an extension. He says, look, I'd love to stay in Cincinnati for the rest of my career. How about I get a cut of the ownership? Give me X number of percentage of it.
I don't know. Have you seen the people who own NFL teams? These are multi billionaires. These are people who laugh at millionaires, you know? So like they don't give that stuff away lightly. I'm not holding my breath on that one.
But that doesn't mean that they're smart. Look at the owner, David Tepper in Carolina.
That is true.
He is a genius in terms of playing. He's a hedge fund guy.
Yeah.
But talk about running a football team, not that great.
That is true.
So if someone comes up and says, hey, you just give me a couple shares here. Let's see what we can do. I don't know if it's going to happen. But Coach, any final thoughts on what's happened or what you see happening with NFL free agency?
Well, I always think free agency is fascinating because it really sets up the draft. I haven't seen anything that's happened yet. And granted, you and I are recording on Monday, so this is day one. But we haven't seen anything happen yet that would really alter the way people anticipate the early part of the draft going, right? Nobody's made a move yet that you would say like, oh, well, that's really going to shake up, you know, the first, the top 10 picks in the draft, et cetera. And I think teams are using free agency to sort of, you know, bolster their roster, obviously strengthen themselves in areas where they want to be strengthened, but they're not using it as a sacrifice for the draft. You're not seeing teams say, oh, we're going to sign this guy now, and it's going to really like compromise our draft board. I think those are two separate conversations for most teams.
Yeah, and there's also a lot of GMs or organizations, I should say, that are very similar to the Steelers in the way they do business. They are not going to be the team that's out there pulling the trigger first. They're going to wait. They're going to be patient. They're going to see what the market is, and then they're going to base their negotiations off of what the market is dictating. So, like I said, all those safeties that are sitting out there, they're going to wait. They're going to be patient. They're going to say, okay, let's see what some of these big name guys get. And then we're going to target the players that we like, that fit our scheme, that fit with the players that we already have on the roster. They're just going to take it easy. And so, yes, this is early. It is only Monday. There's multiple waves of free agency. This is just the peak of the first. The second wave, I always say, comes next week. And then it dies off until, again, a little bit after post-draft. There's like a third wave of players that are still available. And when you look at your team needs after the draft, who can fill those spots, that's what it'll look like. But we're going to be here for all of it. And I know you're going to be talking about this on the call sheet this week, are you not?
I am. I'm going to mix in, in my other life, I'm a history teacher. So I like to mix in some of the history. And I'm going to look at some of the best and worst free agent signings of all time and mix that in with this current conversation.
That's going to be interesting because I'm going to see, there's been a lot of really bad free agent moves. And I feel like we remember the bad more than the good. Would you agree?
Yeah. I think the investment, that and the hype and the excitement and the enthusiasm. Yeah. And then when they flop, you're just devastated.
Yeah. It's going to be a good lesson. You can check that out on the FFSN NFL podcast feed, anywhere you get your podcast. Coach, where can they find you on social media?
At KT Smith, FFSN, and on the FFSN and Steel Curtain Network YouTube channel.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Coach. Until next week, we'll see you on another NFL Whip Around. Take it easy.